You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning, listeners. My name's Andrew, and with me is
Bevan Ramsden.
We're from IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network. In today's CICD Alternative News, we discuss how the disruption to oil supplies resulting from the US-Israeli war on Iran has exposed the misplaced security priorities of successive governments. They have focused on a fictitious security threat from China while leaving the Australian people vulnerable to the real security threat resulting from shortages of food, fuel, medical supplies and transport because of disruption to oil supplies caused by the war.
As of the 26th of March this year, 470 service stations across Australia are without petrol or diesel, and the cost of both these fuels has skyrocketed. In particular, the increased cost and restricted availability of diesel fuel has resulted in food price hikes due to increased costs of harvesting and transporting of produce from the farm to the supermarket. The recent interest rate hike has put further financial pressure on mortgage holders. Workers are being urged to use public transport or work from home to reduce demand on scarce fuel supplies, and any worsening of the situation could bring in petrol and food rationing.
According to Food Bank Australia, around 20% of Australian households are now severely food insecure, skipping meals or going entire days without eating. This report highlights how the housing crisis is intensifying the problem, with 48% of renters experiencing food insecurity and being forced to choose between paying rent and buying food.
One must ask why, in a supposedly rich country like Australia, so many people are struggling to survive. Why has our fuel, food, and transportation security become so vulnerable to overseas war disruption?
The responsibility for this situation lies entirely with successive governments of both major parties, who have, because of their subservience to the US, focused on so-called security at massive cost and despite there being no genuine military threat imminent or foreseen. Their subservience to US foreign policy has resulted in the Force Posture Agreement and the AUKUS Pact, facilitating an increased US military footprint in Australia and enormous expenditures, supposedly for defence, but in reality to integrate the ADF with the US military and provide facilities for US military operations. Bevan, give us some examples of the facilities provided for the United States military.
These US facilities include the Bradshaw Training Range and Delamere Bombing Range in Northern Territory, accommodation for 2,500 or more US Marines in Darwin each year, port facilities at HMAS Stirling in WA for US nuclear hunter-killer submarines, and the proposed construction of a similar port on the East Coast. RAAF Tyndall in the Northern Territory is being upgraded to allow the stationing of up to 6 US B-52 bombers, some of which are nuclear capable. US military officers are now embedded in our defence intelligence system in a combined operation based in Canberra. Billions of dollars have been given to the US and the UK shipyards to prop them up in the hope they will help us get the up to 8 nuclear-powered hunter-killer submarines we're supposed to buy or build under the terms of AUKUS, and which, if we ever get them at all, will be unsuitable for territorial defence of Australia and instead be used in a US-instigated war, such as one most likely against China.
Then there's Pine Gap, the most important US military intelligence gathering facility outside the continental United States, and the Northwest Cape Submarine Communications Station, which, according to journalist Peter Cronow, was most probably the source of the firing command which resulted in a US submarine sinking the Iranian frigate recently with heavy loss of life.
Peter Cronow discusses Pine Gap in Consortium News of Sunday the 15th of March 2026.
In an article titled, Australia's Deepening Involvement in US War on Iran, he writes of Pine Gap and its associated satellites, four advanced Orion satellites amongst an array of spy satellites launched by the United States are controlled through Pine Gap. They give complete satellite surveillance coverage of the entire country of Iran and surrounding nations in the Middle East. The capabilities of the spy satellites Pine Gap uses are astounding. They can be tasked to intercept satellite communications, satellite uplinks, satellite phone, telecommunications transmissions, microwave transmissions, telecommunications tower transmissions, military communications, air defense systems, radio communications, and missile telemetry.
He also says, and I quote, much of this data allows for highly accurate geolocation of selected targets who may be using internet connections, satellite phones, or mobile phones. This is used in the missile and drone targeting of individuals in their homes, their workplaces, when travelling, and likely has been used in assassinations of individual political figures and Iranian military leaders.
Not only has Pine Gap implicated Australia in illegal wars and crimes against humanity, but any realistic assessment of the United States military build-up and bases, both theirs and joint, has, rather than enhancing our defence and security, made Australia a certain target for retaliatory strikes in the event of a war between the United States and its numerous enemies.
The government's myopic, misplaced focus on military security has resulted in the neglect of real security challenges, such as those relating to fuel, food production, healthcare, transport, action on climate change, housing and communications.
Further, the failure by successive governments to ensure that Australia has the internationally recommended 90 days reserve supply of fuel in case of disruptions to overseas supply is not just misplaced priorities, but a dereliction of duty verging on incompetence.
In fact, they have allowed the level of storage to drop to one-third or less of this recommended level. Successive governments have allowed our fuel supply industry to be owned and controlled by foreign, mainly US, transnational corporations. Because of short-sighted, profit-driven policies, we now have two oil refineries instead of the eight we had 25 years ago, and must rely almost totally on refined fuels imported from Asia.
Due to this wanton government dereliction of duty, supplies of fuel and urea fertilizer are now vulnerable to shipping disruption due, for example, to the war, such as the US-Israeli aggression against Iran, which the Albanese government enthusiastically supports. This has predictably led to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, the waterway in the Persian Gulf through which 20% of the world's oil supplies must pass.
We should bear in mind that the Strait of Hormuz is not totally blocked. The Iranian government has said that passage will be allowed for tankers belonging to nations which do not support the US-Israeli aggression and whose cargo has been paid for in Chinese RMB.
13th of March, 19 Australian security specialists and former senior military officers published an open letter in national media outlets expressing their concern that Australia's dependence on fossil fuels is a critical economic and security vulnerability.
Published in the Australian Financial Review and the Sydney Morning Herald, the letter's signatories include Admiral Chris Barry, the former Chief of the Australian Defence Force, Air Vice Marshal John Blackburn, AO, Deputy Chief, Royal Australian Air Force, retired, Cheryl Durant, the former Defence Director of Preparedness and Mobilisation, and Brigadier Michael Bond, CSC and BAR, Australian Army, retired.
They say that protecting Australians by accelerating the renewable energy rollout is now a security priority. They said that we call on the Australian government to accelerate the transition to clean domestic energy. Rapidly expanding renewable energy, including wind, solar, batteries, hydro and renewable fuels produced in Australia, and electrifying our transport system with homegrown energy will strengthen Australia's security. It will reduce exposure to global energy shocks and help limit the escalating risks driven by climate change.
Cameron Leckie, a former major in the Australian Army, wrote an article in Pearls and Irritations of March 12, 2026, titled "Off to War in West Asia We Go Again," in which he highlights the risk to food production resulting from the disruption to shipping caused by the US-Israel aggression against Iran. He says that, and I quote, "Two-thirds of our urea fertilizer comes from West Asia. It is quite possible that Australia will receive no urea fertilizer from that region for many months, perhaps longer, depending on how much damage to infrastructure occurs. And without fertilizers such as urea, yields will plummet in Australia's old, weathered, and typically infertile soils." End of quote.
He sums up by saying, "Food security, the most basic fundamental of human needs, is at risk over the coming months."
The way forward is clear. To begin with, the Australian government must cease all involvement in the illegal US-Israeli war on Iran, recall all ADF personnel and assets from the Middle East, end US access to Pine Gap and Northwest Cape, urge an end to hostilities and work to facilitate good faith negotiations to guarantee lasting peace and security for all the people in the Middle East.
In the longer term, the Australian government must establish control over the energy supply industry so as to reduce dependence on fossil fuels, accelerate the electrification of road transport, and establish enough publicly owned fuel storage capacity and, if necessary, refining capacity to ensure that Australia has the recommended 90 days of fuel security.
IPAN believes that our government must refocus its priorities away from contrived security threats and subservience to the US and concentrate on our real security needs for fuel and energy, food, transportation, shelter, healthcare, communications, and action on climate change. And that's all we have time for today. As usual, we welcome listeners' comments and suggestions, which can be emailed to peacecentre@cicd.org.au. Good morning and thanks for listening.